And then Lord Jesus shared this topic of one true God with us. This is the last class for this topic. So yesterday, we stopped at the theme of salvation. Do we still remember the three keys to hold in order to understand one true God? Do we still remember? Very simple, right? The first, we have to always remember the oneness of God's Spirit. The second is the theme of salvation. Everything Jesus did for salvation. Holy Spirit is coming to complete salvation. And then the Spirit always is transcended over time and space. So cannot be limited by his physical world. So Lord Jesus now stands at God's right hand, serving as the mediator between God and man. So even though Jesus rested from death, he ascended into heaven by the right hand side of God. So he continued the work of salvation, mediating as the high priest and the interceding for us. So that's why Romans chapter 8, verse 34, Holy Spirit intercede for us. Jesus is interceding for us. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. But at the same time, we have Holy Spirit, right? You know, we receive Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Abide with us. Romans chapter 8. 34. Let's read this verse first. 26, 27. Brother Andrew, can you read? So here's the intercessor is Holy Spirit, right? Holy Spirit. He abides with every one of us and then pray for us according to the will of God. But now jump to 34. Sister Brenda, can you read? He is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So Jesus, he also intercedes for us, right? But Holy Spirit is also intercede for us. Jesus is then at the right hand side of God. So in these verses you can compare. Seems Jesus and Holy Spirit separate, or actually it's one, the same. Jesus stand by right hand side for playing like a high priest. So because we are still on earth, we do need his blood. We do need his offering. He sacrificed his life, continue to cover our sin, iniquity. And because we, as a disciple on the earth with flesh, we do need his help. So in the spirit, he abides us. So this is for salvation, to complete this salvation. And the Holy Spirit's Lord in God's salvation. Because after ascension of Jesus, then Holy Spirit came, descend, establish the church. And Holy Spirit abides, dwells the member, what? To sanctify us, everyone else. And then Holy Spirit becomes a very important role in our salvation. So, to our personal perspective, Holy Spirit lead us into the truth. John 16, verse 13. Lead into the truth. Without the guidance of Holy Spirit, we just cannot get the truth. So somehow, if a truth seeker, they come into and study the Bible with us. Without, before receiving the Holy Spirit, some of the questions will repeat over and over again. But after receiving the Holy Spirit, your heart just open, the eyes, now eyesight become clear, you can see through. So this is the work of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit can inspire men to know God, Lord, to know Jesus as Lord. So in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, Simon Peter is so blessed because he understands, you know, this is Jesus is the Son of God, right? He is the Christ. And but before this happened before Peter received this abiding Holy Spirit, right? But Jesus, he said in Matthew 16, verse 15, or 17. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and the blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." He said, "My Father who is in heaven reveal this truth to you." So if we receive this reveals from the Father above, then we understand who Jesus is. We can know he is our true Savior, and this is only way, right? So this is the work of Holy Spirit to inspire everyone to understand Jesus. In order to know God, we have to go through Jesus. Otherwise, we will go into the wrong route. We will misunderstand. Also, Holy Spirit is a witness in the water baptism for our remission of sins. Without the witness of Holy Spirit, our sin, actually, our baptism just take a bath on it. Right? You might just dip into the water and then you come back. But with Holy Spirit as a witness, then it's different. The water turned into the blood of Jesus. Our sin can be remissed. So we have faith. We go by faith, just everything just happens. Right? By faith, water turned into blood. By faith, through the Holy Spirit, the Holy Communion, the unleavened bread, after consecration, then it turned to the body of Jesus. The same. So the Holy Spirit will justify, renew, and sanctify believers. So it just makes us become truly loving children of God. Okay. So yesterday homework, do you finish it? Yes, sir. What is the Holy Spirit role in our church? Because regarding to our person, we know, okay, I need Holy Spirit to guide me, to renew my life, to help me to sanctify myself. But how about the church? What is the Holy Spirit role in our church, the true church? You do your homework, right? Let's talk about it. We have someone to share, okay? It's the more interactive, more interesting. So you are not going to fall asleep. Brother first. Brother, can anybody? No? And I name it, okay. You can probably say one first, then one by one. Yes, some of the names. David. David. You have more, you do it. No? You can do it? Okay, thanks, General. The third year. Okay, so here first. Alan. Alan. Huh? You haven't finished yet? Okay. How about Sean? Establish the church. Okay. Good. Establish the church. Any Bible verse to support you?
Acts chapter 2.
So Acts chapter 2, 3,000 newly baptized members form the church, you mean? Okay. Alright, so Holy Spirit established the church. So church starts from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit established a sister. Third year, I think, is Selena. Can you say it out? Okay, Holy Spirit guided Peter to preach to the Gentiles. Break through the barrier of the race, right? You mean in which chapter? In Acts chapter 10. So this is a conversion of Cornelius. Okay? Holy Spirit guide a worker to preach someone, right? Okay. All right, brother. John. Where is John? John.
Establish
the truth in the church. Any Bible verse? John chapter 14. Okay, 17 and 26. John 14, 17 and 26. Okay. You mean establish the truth in the church? Okay. Any more? This is leading to the truth. Okay. Alright, Sister Amanda. So Holy Spirit empowered the members to preach boldly to all the Gentiles, including Jews, everyone, right? So Holy Spirit gives us empowered to preach. So the entire church is actually empowered by the Holy Spirit. But Father, Ted. Acts chapter 16. So Holy Spirit guide their way to preach. Right? Guide their direction. Okay. Holy Spirit guide the whole the church, the preaching direction from Asia to Europe. Okay. In chapter 16. Sister Lillian. Where's Lillian? Not yet? Okay, brother, we have more brother, don't worry. Brother can help. The third year, I had in Fa Wan. The Holy Spirit moved Philip. Ethiopian eunuch. I mean, Holy Spirit guide his worker to preach to someone, because God to preach to the children one, right? God chose this Ethiopian eunuch. So that's why, according to the history, I don't know, I just get it from a website. The entire Africa, 50-some countries, only Ethiopian is not a country being colonized by Western countries. Is it right? Ethiopian is the only one. So like Kenya, Ghana, all has become a colony of the UK or France. Right? But Ethiopia is the exception. No one dare to colonize this country, because they are Christian from the beginning, just like European countries. So that's why they come to colonize this continent. No anyone occupied Ethiopia. Because this unit brings Christianity into the country. And from that time on, they continue to practice the water baptism, according to the Bible, fully immersed in the water. Until now, 2,000 years later, they still practice the same way. Okay. Yes, so Holy Spirit guides his worker to preach to this, God's chosen one. Because God appointed his worker to preach to this one, only for this one person. Okay? All right. Hopefully everyone really do it and consider. Holy Spirit plays this very important role in our church. So today our sacraments, all our sacraments must be witnessed by Holy Spirit. Right? Water baptism, our foot washing, our Holy Communion have this power of Holy Spirit. Otherwise, just no function in salvation. Okay? And also Holy Spirit will judge, like the law judge in the church. In Acts chapter 5, in the incident of the Ananias, right? The Sapphira, Holy Spirit as a very strict judge. People cannot cheat, because this cheat will pollute and defile the body of Christ. Okay, back to the study. In eternity, there was and there is and there will be only one God. Right? In eternity, God is always one. But now, under this time and space, and for this purpose of salvation, you can see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So in the period of salvation, God manifests in the flesh, like Jesus. God continues to manifest through Holy Spirit. Right? As the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, until the salvation is complete. So now we continue to experience this great work of Jesus, and we receive the grace from the Holy Spirit. So after final judgment, there is no need to have the Lord of Christ and of the Holy Spirit. After judgment, everything is finished and done. Their function will come to the end. So no need. But before final judgment day, we do need Lord Jesus to continue to pray for us, to shed his blood for our iniquity. We still need Holy Spirit to guide us into truth. So to prevent the deceiveness of other doctrines. So in the kingdom of heaven, only one true God. Only one true God. The third point is Holy Spirit The Spirit transcends time and space. So when Jesus was in the flesh, he was subject to the confines of time and space. So that's why in the New Testament, in the four Gospels, when the centurion, he invited Jesus to come to his house to hear his sermon. Jesus said, I can go. Physically, Jesus wanted to go. But the centurion said, oh, you don't have to go. You just speak one word and then my sermon will be healed. Okay. So see here, this centurion in John chapter 4, his face is actually is very, very high and way above at the moment people that how they view Jesus. Because he can sense Jesus is different. Even though physically Jesus had to go, right? But he can use his word and say it. It's enough. But this is how Jesus he so humble himself. He said, I have faith, so he won't go. He's gone. So he cannot at the same time appear in two different locations. Only one location, just like this. After resurrected, Jesus he put on a spiritual body and was no longer subject to these limitations. Right? So in Luke chapter 24 and John 20, Jesus, he is not limited by this physical world anymore. Right? He can just suddenly appear and then suddenly disappear because he has been put on a spiritual body. So spiritual body is different from a physical body. But in the spiritual body, Jesus can also eat. And his disciple, Jesus said, you can touch me. You can touch my palm, right? You see, you can feel it. It's not only image, it's something. You can feel it, but it's a spiritual body. So far, we still cannot get it. Because this is a mystery. We have to wait until the day, and then we will know clearly what happened. So party is so-called spiritual party. Right. Alright. By one spirit, we are all baptized into one body and made to drink of the one spirit. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Chapter 12, verse 13. Sister, it was a loud voice. Tiffany, can you hear me? 9-10. This verse is very important. Romans chapter 8, verse 9-10. Anthony, check. Can you read?
Look at carefully,
but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit.
If indeed the Spirit of God, okay, so now then the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. But if Christ is in you, again, now Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is the life, is life because of righteousness. Okay, so here, these three different things, three different description terms seems interchangeable, right? The Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. And Spirit in you, walk in you, and then Christ in you. So you see how this description about this one Spirit is one. Always oneness. So Christ dwell in our heart. Christ. Holy Spirit dwell in us. Means Christ dwell in our heart. So Holy Spirit come into our heart. Means God abide with us. Christ always abide in our heart. The apostles, their common understanding about God is one. So that's why in Acts chapter 5, let's turn to, in Romans chapter 8, the epistle, Paul, right? In Acts chapter 5, you can see this is how Peter, he said the same thing, just like Apostle Paul. Romans chapter, Acts chapter 5, from verse 1 to 11, because this is a long passage, we just view it. Verse 3. Sister Felicia. Your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. To Holy Spirit. Let's read verse 6. Brother Guan Yin, please read.
Acts 5:6.
Verse 6. Okay, maybe I typed it wrong. It's another talking about Trinity God. In which verse? Verse 4, right? Verse 4. Okay. So verse 4. Read verse 4. Verse 9. Sister, so here, the Spirit of the Lord, right? The Spirit of the Lord. So Holy Spirit, you see here, Peter, he mentioned to Ananias, he lied to God, he lied to the Spirit, right? He lied to the Lord. So you can see this is God, his Spirit, only the one, almost always the one. So God is the only God Spirit. God actually is the only self-existent and everlasting Spirit. No any other can self-exist. Only God. So if God is omnipotent, there is none that he could not control or doesn't know, including the spiritual beings. So we have to make clear, Jesus, He is God manifest in flesh. And God is spirit, is always one. If we say, I believe in God, means that God must only one. Because in our understanding about God is omnipotent. God is almighty. God knows everything. So nothing is become unknown to God. Okay? So this concept we have to understand. And somehow there's a so different kind of the hypothesis spread in the church. Is it possible that Satan can self-exist? No way. Why? It's written to 1 John chapter 3. Chapter 2. First John chapter 2. Is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the work of the devil. Here I mention, he who sinned is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Devil sinned from the beginning means the devil must under the law of God. Otherwise, how do you define sin, right? Sin is defined by God. God said to Adam, you don't eat it, right? You don't take it, don't eat. If you eat, then you die. So this is called sin. So God set a rule first. If you committed, you break this rule, then sin. From beginning, the devil sinned, meaning the devil is under God's control, right? So that's why if you are master, you set a rule to your people. Then if they don't follow, then you can punish them, right? Because you are the master, you are the boss. Same way, God created, so nothing is with the same level as God. God is always the creator, He is the highest. So from the beginning, devil sinned against God. So it's under God's dominion. Cannot over God. So that's why in the Bible, it describes so many things. Actually, we don't quite comprehend yet, because this is not the purpose of the Bible. Bible is a book of life for eternity. Bible is going to guide us into God's salvation. Bible is not a book to tell you the details of how God created everything, including the spiritual beings, right? Because even in this physical world, we still don't know, we have so many things we have no clue about how it happened or what it happened in this way. Just like in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and verse 2, in these two verses, we have no clue what happened in between. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then in the verse 2 says, the earth was without form and the void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Where does the water come from? Does God say when He created waters? No, we don't know, right? So even the water is so important. Today we rely on water. Without water, we die. We even don't know when God created waters. How do we know when God created this heaven, spiritual beings, like angels, or the happens, things happen in the spiritual world, in heaven? We don't know, because this is not our goal. Our goal is we have to understand God created. God is a creator, we are His creation, and He wants to save us. According to the commandment of this Bible, we can return to Him and enter into heaven's kingdom. So that's enough, because this is for our salvation. It's not going to tell the details of how God made this whole universe. So this makes it simple. So when we read the Bible, we always have to focus on for our own salvation. Don't let this worldly, logical thinking become a stumbling block for our salvation. Because in the future, when we face, when we return to heaven, we will know what happened. If God wants us not, we will know. Okay. So we make it simple. So one true God, the purpose of this study is to make sure we understand who Jesus is. And our doctrine about one true God is according to what Bible inspired to His workers. God is spirit, God is one. Right? And what we see in the Bible, in the Old Testament or New Testament, all is related to the salvation. Without salvation, or if we lost the focus of salvation, then we will just fall into this human reasoning about what is God, why is in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We just make this confusion by ourselves in our mind. So make sure you understand this, and then we know what's wrong about Trinity. Okay? So let's conclude this study. One true God. We still have a few minutes. So, as promised in the second class, we wanted to have a sister to testify about how you feel God, right? Because this is personal. Through Holy Spirit, through miracle, through truth, reading the Bible, we can understand God is so real. Okay? So, can we have a sister? Lydia, can you come to share with us about how you feel God is so true?
Let's go to church. And I was like, what? was really confused, and I felt really awkward, and I felt reluctant, but thank God, I started going to church, and we continued to go to church on the Sabbath for 2 years, but I didn't receive the Holy Spirit. And every afternoon service, the pastor and the sermon speaker would encourage everyone to go to the front to pray. And so I would always go to the front, always kneel down and pray and ask God to give me the Holy Spirit that He has promised every one of us. But I kept praying and then never received the Holy Spirit. And during one of the ESSCs, I was praying in the front, and a pastor told me that I should keep praying because I was about to receive the Holy Spirit. But days passed, months passed, and I had not yet received the Holy Spirit. And I kept praying and praying, and I felt so tired and came into doubt whether this whole true Jesus church thing is real. And I started imagining that everyone was just pretending to have the Holy Spirit, but even using logic told me that, it's not possible. So I continued to pray, and a few weeks before the next ESSC on a Sabbath, I went up to pray again, and during this prayer, I really repented to God and asked for His forgiveness. I had a lot of things going on in my life during that period of time, and I asked Him in this prayer to let me really experience Him and to be able to have faith in Him and truly believe that He really exists. And I remember that teardrops were just coming, they were just streaming down my eyes. And I was wearing glasses at the time, where after the prayer concluded, it was all ooh. Yeah, and I couldn't see anything. So yeah, and then the ministers, they told me that, I have to keep, I was praying so hard that they thought that I had lost the Holy Spirit before. I told them, no, and then He told me to continue praying. And at the end, the pastor told me that I had received the Holy Spirit. And at this moment, the tears that I had, they were no longer, tears of sorrow, but tears of joy. And He has promised the Holy Spirit that He has given me the promised Holy Spirit that is really the best gift anyone can get in this world. And it reminded me that in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, that there's a season to everything and time for every purpose under heaven. And yeah, and so I really thank God for allowing me to experience Him and to remember to receive the Holy Spirit when I was 16, because I know most of you guys received the Holy Spirit when you guys were young, and I feel like even though I didn't have the Holy Spirit for a big part of my life, that He gave, that it was His timing so that I can really remember Him and His grace for me. And after receiving the Holy Spirit, I know that He's not only the God of my family, but that He's my God, and He listens to my prayers, and that He'll always be there for me. We all glory and praise the Lord His Holy Name.
Praise and thank God. It's so wonderful. I didn't inform her, so I just suddenly called her. So this sometimes is a test. Test, but we really have to be ready. This is First Peter chapter 3 says, be ready always to share some our experience about God to everybody. So we always have to be ready to testify. Holy Spirit is a key. Even though we have been born in the church, so most of us grow up in the church, we have to really to experience this God is your own personal God, not just God of family. Because eventually, we have a faith, this challenge. Someone will come to challenge you. Or in our life, we encounter some difficulties or obstacles. We have to overcome.
And if we really know, wow, God is so wonderful. He not just stay out there doing his own business. Actually, he's come into our life to want to guide us into his light, become the light, children of light. So hopefully through this study, we can have a more clear understanding about this Savior we are worshiping. And everyone can really put effort through to have more faith in him and experience his guidance. And just like what Jacob said, this is the God who feed me all the way until now. All my life, he is my God. Okay. So may God bless, and may everyone else continue to experience this.